Go ahead and open up this time. We'll start where we have been starting, I guess, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the last verse. I'm going to expound a little bit on something that we taught this morning. It makes perfect sense to me that one way that everybody, whether God uses you in the gifts or not, which I think God wants to use every person in the body of Christ in the gifts. I really believe that. And that's why Paul wrote to the whole church, covet earnestly the best gifts. He didn't write it just to the evangelist or just to the apostle. That letter's to the whole church, covet earnestly the best gifts. And I like what Oral Roberts said one time. He said, somebody asked him, said, well, which gift is the best? I liked his answer. He said, it's the one you need at the time. Isn't that right? So, aside from the gifts, though, one way that for sure every believer can co-labor with the Holy Spirit is by prayer. Didn't that make sense to you? But how many of you know it? I'm not interested in prayer just for prayer's sake. When James says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and he talks about Elijah, and you talk about prayer. If a human prays that it doesn't rain, and then it doesn't rain for 3.5 years, now the human can't do that. He's co-laboring with somebody else. See? And that's why James is encouraging us. He says, now listen, don't think your prayers won't have results. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How many of you know you are the righteousness of God in Christ? See? So if Elijah, who was not born again, if it would work for him, how much more should that work for us? Okay? So we, in this season of teaching about co-laboring with the Holy Spirit, right now he's having me emphasize prayer. Boy, he's bringing out some things in a way I've never heard it exactly like this. So here we are with our verse here, 2 Corinthians 13. I'm not going to do the review that I did this morning because we don't have time. So 2 Corinthians 13, 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. And again, that word communion is koinonia. It does mean fellowship. But the first meaning of it is participation. You could say partnership. It's where you have a part to play and I have a part to play. And unless we both play our parts, it's not going to happen. Well, how many think Paul walked in that partnership? And it's not an accident that these three things are listed in this sequence. I didn't understand it at all. Praying in the Holy Ghost, like Pastor Dave taught us, he began bringing it out to me. So, first off, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he talking about? We're going to go over to Jude in a minute, where Jude says, I need to exhort the church to contend for that faith, the faith that was once delivered to the church. Well, the faith is this. See, the law came by Moses. But grace came by Jesus Christ. Remember that? Grace and truth. What grace is that? Why aren't you under the law anymore? Because God's grace put a new nature on the inside of you. And that grace, that new nature, has the power to walk above sin. See? Now that is the truth. That is the faith that was once delivered. That's the foundation of it, that was first delivered to the early church. Jesus said it in John 8:12, those that follow me shall not walk in darkness. Why not? They shall have the light of life. And I'm finding out he was serious about that. Real serious about it. If you say John knew it 50 years later. He said, if you say you know him and you're walking in darkness, you're just a liar, that's all. You're not a follower of his. Because Jesus said, if you follow him, you won't walk in darkness. I recommend the 1 John series to you. Boy, some of the testimonies we're getting. It's amazing. Okay. So number one, now we're talking really about answered prayer tonight. Paul says, first off, you need to know this grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need to have it with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ at the end be with you. That means you need to be constantly aware of it. You need to walk in it. You know what will happen if you do that? You're going to stay in the love of God. Well, what does that mean? Doesn't God love everybody? Sure does. He loves everybody that's in hell today. That's not the kind of love of God I'm after. I'm not interested in, I'm in hell forever with no hope of escape, but He loves me. Is that the kind you want? No, God gave us that new nature so that we can walk righteously the way that God intends for us to walk. And as we yield to that nature on the inside of us, that's how you stay within the bumper rails of your conscience. Your conscience is like the bumper rails. This is the path of righteousness. Walk ye in it. Walk that way. And if that new nature is going to accuse or excuse every thought. You'll know yes, no, right, wrong. This is okay. This is not okay. And whenever you violate it, you're going to hit the bumper rail of your conscience. And that's when the conscience begins kicking in. And Paul, that word he used, said, I strive to exercise. That Greek word is like going to the gym, working out really hard. In other words, I work at keeping my conscience pure. I want it pure before men, and I want it pure before God. Me too. And this all has to do with answered prayer. I didn't know how much until recently. Some would say 5 minutes ago, but anyway. Well, I'm getting more on it. I'm getting more. But see, by having that grace of God with you and yielding to the new nature, that's how you stay in the love of God. It's not that He doesn't love everybody, but I want to stay in His love. I don't want to become like my youngest daughter, Amanda, who by her actions removed herself from where I could love on her. She wound up in jail. I couldn't hug her. I couldn't take her a gift. I couldn't do anything. They let me see her once a week, you know, for just like a little bit. But she, by her actions, removed herself from her daddy's love. It's not that I ever quit loving her, but I couldn't express it. She couldn't receive the benefits of it. You see what I'm saying? Well, that's what we do. God loved the prodigal. But the prodigal, by his actions, had removed himself from his father's house. He'd removed himself from the father's love. So that's why it's in this order. Listen, walk in that grace. You yield to that new nature. Be obedient to that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that gave you a new nature so you can walk righteously. By doing that, you're going to keep yourself in the love of God. And then, as you're doing that, now you're a candidate for participation, co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. Now, he wrote this to the Corinthians who were already, if you'll allow me, co-laboring with the Holy Spirit by the gifts. But that's not really a co-laboring. That's just a gift that the Holy Spirit was manifesting through them as He wills. It certainly wasn't them. Their part was tiny. So Paul's writing to that bunch that was already operating in the gifts. And he's saying, there's a partnership that I'm praying for you. You're going to come to the place where you're going to walk by the power of that grace of the new nature. You're going to walk by that. You're going to keep yourselves in the love of God. You're going to learn how to co-labor with the Holy Ghost. Man, that's good stuff right there. Now, if you want to see a parallel to that, go over to the book of Jude. And verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once, and that means this is the one that Jesus brought. This is the gospel that Jesus brought. Your faith is based on that, nothing else. You need to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, in the context of today, we're talking the aspect of that faith, which is you have been made free from sin. Okay? You've been made free from sin. What Jesus meant what He said and said what He meant. John 8:12. Those that follow me shall not walk in darkness. Why? Because they're going to have the light of life. And that same chapter later on is where we have our verse, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. And he's talking about sin, isn't he? Yes, he is. Thank you very much. You did good. All right. For there are certain men crept in unawares, meaning they say they're Christians. They use the name of Jesus. They say they're preaching the true gospel. Otherwise, they couldn't come in unawares, could they? They say they're on television in Tulsa right today, preaching the same heresy that was being preached then. But what are they doing? They're ungodly men, no matter what they say. See, they say they're Christian, but Jude says they're ungodly. What are they doing? They're turning the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. They're turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. They're denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, they cannot be denied. If they came in and said Jesus Christ is not Lord, how many Christians are going to listen to that? That's not what they're saying. No, what they are saying, they are denying his teachings. They're denying John 8:12. They're saying God's grace covers lasciviousness. They're saying you can continue to walk in darkness and God's okay with it. God's grace will cover it. Not that he's okay with it, but God's grace will cover it. You'll be okay, little Christian. Just keep on fornicating. Just keep on stealing. Keep on lying. I heard a preacher yesterday say, if you're lying, you'll be fine. Okay. If you lie, you fry. Okay. Can you see what it's that radical grace already started in the first century. And it's coming against the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Well, what is that faith? Those that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And these guys are coming in destroying that. They're saying, no, you can continue. You can continue in fornication and getting drunk and all of that stuff. You'll be okay. No, you will not be okay. These guys started out as Christians. And how you know that? How you know it for sure? In my Bible, turn over one page. Go to verse 12. Talking about these same guys. Said, these are spots in your feasts of charity, your love feasts. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Now right here, here's how you know at one time these guys were Christians. Trees whose fruit withereth. Now stop for a moment. You can't have fruit that withers unless there's first fruit. These guys had fruit at one time. They started out okay. I mentioned Jim Jones this morning. Norval used to preach in his church. And Jim Jones used to preach at Norval services. And they knew each other. And Norval says plainly, and I heard him say this, of course, years after Guyana. He says, I know that Jim started off right, man. He was on fire for God. He loved God, man. And he said he was clean when I knew him. He wasn't involved in anything. And he says, I don't know. He moved to the West Coast and we kind of lost track. And I don't know what all happened, but see, they've got a special going on right now where his sons are telling what a lot of things that we didn't know before. I don't know when it happened, but he got hooked on drugs. And they said even the very week that massacre happened down there, he was high nearly all the time on something. He was addicted to drugs. Well, there's that flesh handle again, see. I wonder how it started. I bet it didn't start out that way. Probably started out small. I have a sister who has been in the grave a long time. Very lovely girl. She was the A student. I was the C student. She was the good girl. I was kind of the bad boy in our family. But she just got hooked up with the wrong crowd. We didn't know much back in those days about drugs and, you know, experimenting around with it. And one preacher says, don't be messing around that slippery creek bank. Dave would say, don't play with that baby snake. It won't stay small. And that's what happened with her. And it wound up taking her life. wound up taking her life, see. Well, Jim Jones not only took his, he took, what, 300 and some odd with him. And a lot of them children. God. That's the devil incarnate right there. Not Jim, but the spirits that were behind that thing. So here, and Jim started out okay. That's why I mentioned Jim Jones. Those that knew him. Norval says, I knew him. I'm telling you, it's not how you start. It's how you finish. Paul mentioned that in his letter to the Corinthians. He says, I keep my body under. Why? Lest after I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And the real Greek word there is the same word translated reprobate in Romans chapter 1. It doesn't matter so much how you start. It matters how you finish. Those that endure to the end shall be saved. So these guys, like Jim Jones, they had to have fruit or the fruit couldn't wither. Trees whose fruit withereth. Well, that's first. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. They had fruit. Then you see the fruit wither. It gets ugly looking. It's shriveled up. But then the next stage, well, then it's just without fruit. No fruit at all now. Then it becomes twice dead. How do you become twice dead as a human? Every human is born spiritually dead. You have to get alive in Christ. But then, with the light goes completely out, you become twice dead. And if that's not bad enough, plucked up by the roots. Dave calls that's the reprobate. It's not that God wouldn't take you back. There's nothing in you that wants to come back. Man, there's not even a root looking. Roots search for water, don't they, underground? Isn't that what a root is? You can have a root break a sidewalk. Why? It's hunting for water. Hunting for life. He says, and these guys, they don't even have roots anymore. I mean, it is the picture. But you see the process? To go from a fruit-bearing tree to something that doesn't even have a root. Don't mess around with sin now. We want to keep ourselves in the love of God. Well, what's the answer, Jude? How would I do that? How would I keep myself in the love of God? And thank God for Pastor Dave. Come on, you know where I'm going. Thank God for Pastor Dave for teaching us these verses. But you, beloved, verse 20, you, beloved. In other words, I don't want to see what happened to them happen to you. You've got fruit right now. You're doing good right now. And I want you to continue to contend for that faith that was once delivered to the saints. I don't want you to wind up like them. No fruit and withered. I don't want that. Well, what's your suggestion, Jude? What should I do to keep from becoming like that? But you, beloved. Glory to God. Thank you, Pastor Dave. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now that's the very faith. That's the same faith he's talking about. That faith that was once delivered to the saints. You spend time with the Holy Spirit. He is going to keep reminding you of who you are. He is going to witness with you that you are a child of God. He's going to keep telling you that you are free from sin. That you don't walk in darkness. You're a child of light. It's not that he teaches you that. The new nature teaches you that. But your new nature in fellowship with him who spawned that new nature, he's going to keep you strong. You say that? You see what I'm saying there? He's going to keep reminding you. He's going to bear witness that you are a child of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Glory to God. So keep your... You, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. But now notice, keep yourselves in the love of God. The Holy Spirit, that fellowship with Him, between Him and your spirit, you're walking with Him. Man, if you're really walking with Him, stuff's going to be happening. Your life is going to be exciting. Your life is going to involve whatever it is He's called you to do. You're going to be busy doing that, not out in the world looking for sin. You see that? He's going to keep you within the bumper rails. He's going to keep you busy. Whatever calling he's called you to do, you and him are about your Father's business, co-laboring in the kingdom. You ain't got time to be out looking after sin. going to keep you in the love of God. Stay within the bumper rails of that righteous path. Glory to God. Now, go to 1 John. Trying to teach and not preach. Get excited. Just so you'll know there that's watching, this is why this excitement is what keeps me so young and good looking. Anyway. 1 John chapter 3. Because today now we were taking all that into account and looking at answered prayer. Because prayer, and yes, we talked about praying in the Holy Ghost this morning, but then we ended up, when you do know what to pray for as you ought. We went through quite a list. The Lord's Prayer, praying for your own bread, praying for bread for others, pray for the leaders of the country. See, I want when I spend time doing that, I want participation by the Holy Spirit. I want God to hear, and I want God to answer. Isn't that why we pray? Well, until I went through the First John, we went through the First John series, this verse had never meant much to me. And it's 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. It says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not," what if I said it this way? "If my conscience is pure." Isn't that another way of saying the same thing? In other words, if my heart's not condemning me, then that means my conscience is clean. Okay? So in that condition, "Beloved, when my conscience is clean, and my heart is not condemning me, then have we confidence toward God." What do you mean confidence? What are you talking about? Well, I mean in prayer. Because he says, "And whatsoever we ask," is that prayer? Yeah. "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we prayed in the name of Jesus." I didn't get any amens, thank God. See, but that's what we've been taught. That's what we've been taught. Look at what he says. Do you reckon this old grizzled apostle, John at this point, let's see, if it's been 50 years and he was 20-ish, so he's got to be my age or older when he wrote this, after a lifetime of serving Jesus. He says, "You want your prayers answered?" "Yes, John, we want our prayers answered. Keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Most of the church world is going to accuse me of preaching works because I'm preaching what John preached. Most of the church world said, "Well, that's got nothing to do with faith." No, 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 Brother Gary. No, no, no. It's in the, I can hear it, the name. That toad anointing, it's in the name. Don't you know, Brother Gary? Well, it is in the name. But his name is not like Open Sesame. Name of Jesus, answer my prayer. It's not like a lucky rabbit's foot you carry in your pocket. No. In his name means you are surrendered. You are his ambassador. You have been bought with a price. You're not on this earth to accomplish your will. You're on this earth to accomplish his will. You are an ambassador here, no less, and we send American U.S. ambassadors to other countries. They're not there to accomplish their will. They are there to accomplish the will of the United States of America. That's exactly when you pray in the name of Jesus. That's what it means. It's not for you to establish your kingdom either. It's for you to accomplish your part in his kingdom. I used the example this morning, which I wasn't going to do it, and he made me do it. Well, he didn't make me. But he was serious about it. We went to where he told John, "You're going to be a martyr for me." Now, isn't that news? Most people don't know that. Most people don't know how they're going to die. John found out two things. You're going to live to be an old guy. Did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Peter learned a few things. You don't have to take all that. Peter learned a few things that day that he didn't know. He learned he's going to live to be an old guy. You know, that's why he was asleep when he was in prison just a little short while after this. Remember, they were going to kill Peter because they'd already killed James. Peter, he wasn't worried. He went to sleep. Well, it's only been a short time since Jesus told me I'm going to live to be an old man. I'm not an old man. I ain't going to die. Yeah, I'm going to go to sleep. He wasn't worried. Jesus already told him, you're going to live to be an old man. Angel had to thump him on the side to wake him up. Now that's peace. I can just hear the devil. What's wrong with this, Peter? We keep telling him, you're going to die in the morning. You're going to die. You're doomed. You're going to die. We have you now. They killed James. They're going to kill you. And he goes, I think I'm going to take a nap. Peace of God. Why? He had knowledge. The Lord had already told him, you're not going to die as a young man. Okay. But he also found out, you're going to die as a martyr for me. And I love Peter's truthfulness. I'm going to die as a martyr. What about John? Isn't that exactly how we'd read? What about Jason over there? What about him? Oh, and such a truth here, though. Such a truth. Because Jesus says, if I will. Now, whose will is it about? Is it about Peter's will? Is it about John's will? He said, if I will. Boy, there's only one king of this kingdom. There's only one Lord of this house. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. If I will that John stays until I return. Peter, what's that to you? And then to each one, I'm looking in the camera for a reason. Here's what Jesus says. You follow me. You follow me. Glory to God. See, it dawned on my lightning quick mind one day that the Holy Spirit, every time Peter prayed in other tongues, was working Peter's path towards the day where he would wind up being a martyr for Jesus. All things work together for good. So, well, I don't see how that could be for good. The blood of the martyr is the seed of the gospel. Isn't that the truth? Glory to God. So much. 1 John chapter 3 again, verses 21 and 22. But verse 22, whatever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And I'm going to say it a little different than I did this morning. Gary, you mean to tell me, what are you doing, Gary? You preaching a works gospel now? Are you telling me that my prayers can be hindered by my lifestyle? My answer is, can you read? Can you read? Didn't he just say, look what he says right there. This is where your confidence is. If your heart's not condemning you and your conscience is pure, then you can have confidence that when you pray, he's going to, whatever you ask, you're going to receive it from him because you're keeping his commandments and doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. Yeah, I'm telling you that. It makes a difference. Are you his or are you still yours? You're walking by the Spirit, you're still walking by the flesh. Who's got you? I say it again because I hear it again. Yielding to that new nature in you is no less than yielding to Christ in you. That new man on the inside of you, born of him, that is Christ in you. And to rebel against it is to rebel against him. Thank God he's long-suffering and merciful. How many of you got? I'm glad he's not just the God of the second chance. 70 times 7, I want to say a day. I'm not sure you can do that, but anyway, his mercies are new. How many mornings? Oh, thank you. I can't wait till the sun comes up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Now, again, you know what I love about, well, I love a lot of things about John. The thing that opened up the book of John to me was when in verse 3, I believe it is, of 1 John, he says, I'm just telling those things which I have seen and heard. You know what 1 John really is? It's show and tell. I'm telling the things that I have seen and heard of him. So he's saying right here now, listen, if you want your prayers answered, keep his commandments. Today we would say, I would say it like this. Obey the voice of your new nature. By that process, you don't be hitting the bumper rails and your conscience is clean. Then, when it says, do those things that are pleasing in his sight, To me, that sounds like seek ye first the kingdom of God. Find out your place in it and be about your business doing what he called you to do, whatever that is. Isn't that right? So if you're doing that, he says, well, whatever you ask. If you're in his service, you're doing what he told you to do, you're living righteous, keeping clear of the bumper rails of your conscience, whatever you ask, you receive of him. And what I really love about John, he said, I'm just teaching what Jesus taught. You want to see where Jesus taught it? For a love offering. No, okay. I got to quit doing that. Go over to John chapter 15. Big John. Big good John. Big good John. He's just teaching what he heard Jesus teach. He's not adding to what Jesus taught. He's not taking away from it. He is teaching precisely what Jesus taught. And here it is. John 15. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, isn't that exactly what John wrote over there 50 years later? When it says, my words abide in you, what that means is that you not only heard them, you're a doer of them. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? To just be a hearer of the word does not make you a disciple. That's not going to put your house on a rock. No, he said, those that hear only and don't do, they're like they're building their house on sand. Can I say it this way? They're pretend Christians. They're pretend Christians. They're Christian in name only. But he says, that guy that hears my word and does them, well, he's like the guy that built his house on a rock. And it does not matter what hell throws at you. Doesn't matter what Satan. If anybody ever had the kitchen sink and the kitchen thrown at him, it was the Apostle Paul. I mean, you know, we get a bad Facebook report and we're all devastated, you know. Shipwrecks, poisonous snakes biting you on the hand. Stoned, beaten with rods, perils of thieves, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, on and on and on, everything you can imagine that can be put in prison. I like it again. Rome had a problem with Peter and Paul. They couldn't keep the guards guarding them because Peter and Paul would get them saved. God, I love that. You talk about obeying Christ. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those that love them. Pray for them. Do good to them. They did exactly that. And then they kept getting their guards saved. I would need another guard. Guards in there praying with Peter. Oh, excuse me. It tickles me. See, verse 7 again. John's just preaching. What he heard Jesus say all those years before. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. I'm just going to say it plain. When he says his words abide in you, he's talking to doers of the word. Not just hearers. If my words abide in you, in other words, if you are keeping my commandments and doing those things that are pleasing in the Lord's sight, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now get this. We're supposed to stay in the Father's love. You remember that second part of what Paul prayed for the Corinthian church? Jude says also, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Well, how do you keep yourselves in the love of God? Jesus taught it right here. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now get this. Continue you in my love. Well, how would I do that? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We're right back. We're full circle right back around to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that empowers you to walk above sin. He did it for us. You talk about grace. Nobody could earn that. Nobody worked for that. Nobody deserved that. Nobody gave enough to have that. It is free. That's what Jesus, when he did all of the work to make that available to us free by grace. But boy, just because it's free, don't think it's not powerful. I'm telling you, the more I'm in this, the more I understand Jesus is serious as a box of rocks about his people walking free from sin. He didn't pay a price like he paid for us to go wallow in the trough with the world. He didn't pay a, and that more and more, some things that I used to even preach in the early days. I'm glad, anyway. You know, I've said it out of my mouth. Oh, when you mess up, he only sees Jesus when he looks at you. That's hogwash. That's not the truth. Did the Father only see Jesus when he saw the prodigal out there? No. The prodigal was prodigalizing. I still like that word. He was out there prodigalizing, doing, and he had removed himself by those actions. He couldn't do that and stay in the Father's house. The Father loved him. I know he loved him because it says once the kid, young man, repented and started on his way home. Oh, the verse, it just makes me cry. It says the Father saw him a long way off. Tells me that boy was always on his heart. He loved him even while he was in the pig trough, even while he was with the harlots, even while he was doing what he was doing. God loved him, but by his actions, he had removed himself from his Father's love. Said another way, he had removed himself from his Father's house. Remember what the Father said about him? This, my son, was not wounded, not sick. This, my son, was dead. Dead in trespasses and sins, and weren't we all? But boy, when you repent and come to your Father's house, the next thing he says, this, my son, was dead and is alive again. Glory to God, glory to God, hallelujah. Thank God for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God walking in the grace he provided for us keeps us in the love of God. And as we do that, we can co-labor with the Holy Spirit. And when we pray, because we're keeping the commandments and doing those things that are pleasing in his sight, we can know that when we pray, we receive of him the answer every time. Then we start lining up the St. Jude children. Then we start lining up the children's hospital over here. Then we start filling the... I'm looking for the day we have crutches and canes and hearing aids and wheelchairs and stretchers and everything plastered around these walls or the walls of a newer church. Thank you, Lord, for the angels that are holding this one together. Aren't you looking forward to that day? This is exactly what he's after. Verse 80 says, herein is my Father. You know what? When that happens, it's not for your glory. He says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Well, boy, did he bear fruit? Hello. Did Jesus bear fruit? My Lord. And he says, you're going to bear fruit just like I did. And it's going to glorify the Father. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, the more I'm into this, the more I feel like... Now, Angie and I go to the gym about 3 times a week, whether we like it or not. I thank God that she goes, because if she didn't go, I don't know how often I'd go. A buddy is, it helps. A buddy system helps, okay? But I'm telling you now, I'm wanting to do some other gymnastics. Paul says, I think I have that verse on here. Go to verse Acts 24:16. We'll finish up here. Acts 24:16. This title will be Keeping Yourself in the Love of God, Angie. Keeping Yourself in the Love of God. Acts 24:16, if I can ever get there. Oh, I've got it on the page. And herein do I, notice this word, exercise myself. I didn't look that Greek word up, but I know what exercise means. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Angie and I. And I got to tell you, my flesh, Sunday night, Tuesday night, and Thursday night. It does not want to go the next day. It's already telling me before I go to bed. Think of some kind of excuse to get out of this. But I get up and I go anyway. And Angie gets up and goes anyway. She's told me it helps both of us get our behinds out of bed. I exercise myself. Why use that word? In other words, it's not easy. If I just going to do what comes easy, I'd stay in bed. I got to get up. I got to do it on purpose. And Paul is using that same word to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Now, let's take it one step further. You're the diehards of the diehards. You're the calling in the lost. You know what that really means? Okay. Where we're going? If you're going to keep a clear conscience toward God, that means when He gives you an instruction. I'll use Gary. Maybe I've got ten. I'll use the same one. I had $10 in my pocket the time we were sitting right over there. And he said to me, give that lady right in front of us, give her $10. I wasn't even sure I had $10. I was kind of hoping I didn't have $10. Looked at my wallet. Guess what was in there? $10. Said, that isn't much. It is if it's all you got. Bear witness, right? Now, if I'd have refused, is my conscience just going to ignore that? That didn't happen. He didn't say that to me. Is that going to fly? No. You know. You know when he gives you an instruction. And Paul says, I have to work at it. I have to exercise on purpose. Sometimes when my soul may not want to do it, I don't want to cause offense. I want my conscience clean. So no matter what he tells me to do, I'm thinking about the time they stoned him at Lystra. Left him for dead. Those people in those days knew what stoning was. And if they leave you for dead, might have been dead. You know, the others circled around him and prayed, and he came. I don't know whether he's dead or not, but it was bad. Can you imagine what he looked like? I can't imagine those stones hitting you in the face. And what does he do? He gets up and says, we're going back into Lystra. Why? God wasn't finished yet. Doesn't matter what they did. I'm going back in there anyway. I'm exercising myself. I'm not going to have an offense toward God. I'm going to work at keeping my conscience pure. Boy, let's do that. We're in this season that we're in now. Just do it on purpose, on practice. Listen for that whisper. Listen for that instruction. Listen for that prompting. And then do it whether you want to or not. Exercise yourself. Do it whether you want to. I'll finish with this. In the early days, and I'm over at the ugly building, and I'm praying. I'm trying to hear the voice of God. The whole purpose of me being there is so I can hear the voice of God and do what He wants. And I'm praying. And I mean, it took a long time. I'm praying for days and weeks and months. And I remember one day I was over there just praying away. I don't know how many hours. Praying away. And I heard His voice. I mean, what I've been over there praying happened. And He told me to go give a certain person a certain amount of money. And I said, soon as I finish praying. And it was like, oh, you mean now? Oh, that's why I'm here to hear you. Oh, I started getting a clue. Prayer was not for prayer's sake. Prayer has a purpose. When you hear His voice, obey the voice. Hallelujah. Well, what I'm saying is in this season, when you get those nudgings, those promptings, whatever it is, exercise yourself to keep a pure conscience. It's more important to keep that conscience pure than anything that you might, you know, He might have you give or do in the natural. Y'all getting anything? You understand? Say yes whether you do or not. Hallelujah. That's it for tonight. But I am excited about this. And people are going to, again, they're going to accuse me. No matter that I read it out of 1 John, no matter that I read it out of John 15, they're going to say, Gary, nope. You're teaching works now. You're teaching I got to clean my life up if I want answered prayer. No, I did not teach that. Jesus taught that. And then John repeated what Jesus taught. Don't think it doesn't matter. And I'm beginning to understand why the church at large has so little answered prayer. I'm telling you, I'm excited about these things. These things get me going because it lets me know we're headed for revival. I mean, he's pulling out all the stops, ripping up the veils, the things that we don't understand, and he's getting us ready to go in and take the land. Boy, this land needs taken too for the kingdom of God.